return you now to your regularly scheduled program.
Hey everybody, this is Josh Martin.
And I'm Marty Hite.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome to the Tattoos and Jesus Podcast.
I am very happy to be here!
Here at TNJ, we seek to blend the righteous with the ridiculous.
Please explain.
We discuss coffee, counseling, Christianity, and whatever else crosses our mind.
We hope you enjoy.
Okay, let's go.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Tattoos and Jesus. We are sitting here in TNJ Studios. I'm going to be honest. I kind of feel like I'm about to do a stand-up special with my new mic. Mr. Marty Hite. Got for me here. Well, actually, got it as a third mic.
Yeah.
And we're testing it out.
Yeah, we had borrowed Jimmy's mic for an interview, and it worked great. We figured out how to do this three mic deal. And I was like, I just need to buy a third mic, but I really didn't want to spend a lot of money. And so this is like your traditional stage mic. It was like $40, but it was nice. It's by Shure. That's a good brand. And it feels good. It feels legit. So we'll see what the audio sounds like, I guess, when we publish this bad boy.
Hopefully it's good, because we're not going to pay attention to it.
We'll see. We'll see.
Outside what, of just listening and editing. I mean, it sounded good on the recording.
Yeah.
But I do like it. Like, it's got a nice, like...
Do you like it better than having a mic on a stand?
The mic on the stand gives more of a podcast feel.
I feel more professional than you look.
I'm about to say, I'm less flexible in the stand, but I'm more professional.
You're less flexible, but more professional.
And in this, I am more flexible, hands down, because I am literally holding a mic on the couch.
I'm
right
also
now.
Waiting for you to break out into like the anchor holds or something.
What anchor holds?
You know the song, Ray Bolts. Do you know the song?
Lips of an Angel, Hinder.
Oh my goodness, you're a baby.
You ever thought like, okay, so hear me.
And the anchor holds.
What is that? We talked about in small group last night how there's Presbyterian hymns.
Yeah.
And then there's Baptist hymns. But only okay. Baptist hymns are sung at Baptist churches, where Presbyterian hymns.
That's not a hymn that I'm singing.
What is it? Who's it by? Garth Brooks?
Ray Bolts.
Who is that?
Go Google him. He's got an interesting story.
Is that the character off of Cars?
No. Do you?
Dang. I sent a picture. Shout out to Grayson right now.
Okay.
The famous Grayson.
Famous Grayson.
I sent a picture of our setup because they were asking him and Zane. And on the spot, he says, didn't know Marty was a Chase Elliott fan.
Oh, he sees it on the back of the computer.
Apparently. I would have never guessed that.
That's because I can't. Allergies. Apologize for you listening to clear my throat. Grayson is something that you're not. I can go ahead and tell you. I've had one conversation with Grayson, and I've just read one text message, and I think he's something you're not.
What's that?
Observant.
I am observant.
What do
I'm
you
actually
observe?
Very observant.
Are you?
Yes.
Are you?
I am highly observant. In situations, I need to be observant too. But outside of that...
Okay.
No. That's only if I'm, like, anxious. If I'm anxious, I'm extremely observant.
That's not being observant. That's called being hypervigilant, and it's a symptom of trauma.
I don't think so. I think it's just anxiety.
Well, that is what that is.
Oh. Well, outside of that...
I mean, it may not be trauma-induced, but that's the...
I'm not... Yeah, I'm not detail-oriented. That's true. I am with people, just not with objects. Does that
make
sense?
Okay, let me tell you this. I can tell you the exact car you drive.
Car?
Yes.
I can too.
I can tell you the car you used to drive.
No, you can't.
Ford Taurus?
What year was it?
2003.
Ooh, 2004.
Oh.
Man. Man.
Can you tell me anything about my cars?
Yeah. A Honda CR-V, a Toyota Tundra.
Okay.
That's it. Right?
That's better than I expected.
See? I know what I'm doing.
But you've also had to write at them.
Fair. I will say, this is going to sound bad. Sometimes I don't know if it's like being less observant or being like ADD or being out of it when I got home. But I got home one night and Sarah had took the tree down that's in our living room.
Like Christmas took all, tree?
Yeah, took it down, cleaned it up, put it up, took all the decorations down. It took me hours.
To realize it was gone?
Yeah. And we were
was
in
she
the
just
room.
Waiting? Was she just yeah. waiting for you to notice?
She said, you haven't even noticed yet, have you? And I'm like, what? And she was like, the Christmas tree. And I was like, oh, yeah.
There was a huge tree in here.
I don't really think it was a detail warning thing. I think it was more of just, I was just out of it. But
okay.
I didn't notice a whole tree was gone.
Have you ever, like, just accidentally walked up to the wrong car or a person incorrectly? So last week, my son, Maddox, God bless his soul.
Mm.
So he's getting back late from a soccer game. Like, we'd went to the soccer game. My wife and little fella went home to go to bed. I went to the school to pick Maddox up. I was picking him up at like midnight. Like, it was late. And so I texted him. And I said, hey, Max, I'm going to be in my truck. I might be asleep. Just look for the truck and come get in it when it's time to leave. He texts back, okay. I didn't fall asleep. And so I'm there the whole time. I even have this on video. I can show it to you. He gets back. And there's a car that looks very similar to my wife's parked in a different parking lot with people in it waiting to pick somebody up. So there's two variables I need you to know here.
Okay.
That's not our car.
Right.
And I park in the exact same spot every single time I pick them up. Every single time it's the exact same location. This parked car was in a totally different parking lot. That's adjacent to where I was. So I watch him. It's nighttime. He gets out of the van, the bus, and he walks to get into this random person's car. And I see it happening. I see him walking towards the car, and I think, he thinks I'm in Ashley's car. So I get out my phone and I record it. In time to catch him, get to the car, spin around real fast, and walk the other direction. And I'm like, instantly, I'm like, what are you thinking? Like, number one, we never park there. Never park there. Number two, I literally texted you and said, I'm in my truck. Like, most of the time, I'd be like, that's understandable. I'll give you a pass. I texted him an hour and a half ago and said, I am in my truck. So he gets in, and I said, almost getting the wrong car? He said, yeah, I thought it was Ashley's. And I said, I texted you and told you I was in my truck. He said, yeah, I didn't read that. He replied to it.
Yeah, but sometimes you can read and reply and not remember. I can vouch for him.
This is what I want to ask you today.
Yes, sir.
What's it like to live in your head?
Fun time?
Is it a fun time up there?
I mean, sometimes.
I don't know. Looks like your hair's trying to escape.
So, first of all, wow.
That was good.
Okay.
I didn't even plan on that.
I feel like that was a set.
Unintended setup. Unintended.
Oh, my gosh. So, I actually was thinking about this last night. This is weird because I didn't tell anybody this. I was just thinking it. So, we were a small group. I don't close my eyes anymore when people pray.
I thought you were about to just stop right there.
I don't close my eyes when I sleep. No, I don't close my eyes anymore when people pray because
that's like breaking rule number four. Should you say that out loud?
Because when I close my eyes, there's 1,000 thoughts that I am paying attention to. When I leave my eyes open, I can focus on what the person says. I don't know if anybody in small groups knows that. If Priscilla and Reed are listening to this, they're probably going to automatically just like call me out next small group. But
knowing Priscilla, she's probably thinking, oh my, I could never do that.
Yeah.
Like that's a rule.
I'm kicked out.
Reed's probably like, yeah. I used to be Presbyterian. We're game for anything.
Yeah, we'll try it out. I'll do one eye open.
You want a drink while we do this?
It's mostly, I don't have, I'm not hyper in a sense. I am in social situations because I get energized by social situations. We talked about that. But I'm more of just all over the place. Like, all over the place in my head. And I've learned to focus, I guess, just over time. But in session, I catch myself a lot now losing focus off of a thought that I had, off of something they said, and not paying attention to some of the things that follow after that.
Do you remember those old school playground toys, the merry-go-rounds, where you could run with it and get going really, really, really fast, and you jump on and just spin in a circle and hold on?
Yeah, it makes me want to throw up things about it.
Yes. Uh-huh. And probably one of the more dangerous playground toys in the last 50 years.
You get knocked out.
But like on those, you try to go as fast as possible and you hold on.
Yeah.
But undoubtedly, someone gets thrown.
Yeah.
Multiple people get thrown. Or drug.
Right.
Tossed, spun.
Hit.
That's how I visualize your mind. It's spinning really fast. You never know which thought's going to fly out of where.
Which is why I have the notes of my Apple phone to catch all of these thoughts.
Like the one from last week that's like, I want to do ministry to missionaries, and I also want a high-end trailer park. Yeah. You send me a note, and it literally outlines a ministry. It outlines this ministry, and then literally the next statement is high-end trailer park. And I was like, what is he talking about?
Yeah. So So Sarah says she wants to go through my phone and print off all of the notes, but they're not going to make like I could probably go through and tell you what the idea was, which is why I write it down.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of just mosh posh, just like random. I want to help international missionaries. And then the next thought was I want to open up. Now, if somebody steals my idea, I'm going to be upset. But high end, think about it though. Gated community trailer park, high end trailer parks.
You've already explained it to me.
It's a good idea.
All right, so help. I need help because of the crazy people in my life.
Okay.
And I think you can give this to me, and other people may also have this experience. Have you ever been diagnosed with ADD?
By somebody other than myself?
Yes.
I mean, not officially.
Have you self-diagnosed yourself with ADD?
Yes. In session with somebody else that was also taking the same test.
So what's your...
Because I was reading the questions as they were answering them. I was like, in session, wait a second. I printed an extra copy off.
Yeah.
And we were both filling it out at the same time. And at the end, I actually had more symptoms than they did for ADD. it was quite the session.
Did he immediately be like, well, how does that make you feel to be worse than me?
Yeah. It was just kind of a bonding experience. And then we just talked about how we can manage our ADD.
And then you had a conversation about lunch, Jesus, and coping skills in rotating order.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Which I've had the same guy still calls me out when I get to ADD in session.
Yeah.
And says, okay, you gotta calm your ADD down. Like, because I'm following, but there's too many thoughts happening. And so I've thought about trying to find a way. That's kind of where the finger system came, That's kind of where I feel like I might need medicine. But right now we're just rolling with it, and I'm just trying to be aware of it and then trying to go from there.
So when you say we're rolling with it, or does that mean you're like rolling with success, or like I tripped and fell and I'm rolling down a hill?
I'm more aware. So if I start telling them a point or start explaining something and I catch myself, what I do is before I finish, I've already switched to another thought and another explanation of something or a clarification of something that I just said. But the reality is I need to finish that thought and then go back and clarify anything that they have questions about. But I tend
because
to
in
just
your head,
stair step all the way.
You are scooting.
Yeah. And I'm just, yeah. And so what I try to do, what I find that helps, which is why I think I do well in the groups, is if I have it in front of me, I know that it's already there. Because if I don't say it, the chances of remembering it become slim. So, like, if I don't say it and I'm like, I'll say that later, then...
Later never comes.
Right. So, which is why I have my finger system, where it's like two or three to help try to go back. Because
you attach a thought to a finger.
Yeah.
This isn't weird at all.
Yeah.
So, realizing that, because I'm going to go ahead and tell you, as a licensed professional counselor, you got to add.
Yeah. That's what I hear.
You got it.
That's what I hear.
Was that like relieving to figure out, or is it frustrating?
At this point, it's probably too late, but I mean.
Lost cause.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
They immediately help you provide structure to understanding yourself better?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely did that. Like, it definitely helped me. It helped me understand why I am the way I am and why I get frustrated. Because I think what's most frustrating, like, I can even remember telling Sarah this. When I would sit down, this is going to be kind of not really embarrassing, but
a little vulnerable,
I guess. When I would sit down, and when I was working at, see what I'm saying? When I was at Liberty and I had to write a lengthy paper.
Oh, yeah. You've mentioned this before.
I would almost, there was a few times where I had so much going on that it almost brought me to tears to try and start.
Because you couldn't land the plane.
Right. I was like, in a way, and I don't know if it was a feeling of being overwhelmed because I procrastinated or if it was just like, It was extremely hard to write lengthy papers. Even though the thoughts are there.
It's all there.
Structuring it and getting it on paper was extremely hard.
So, you know, I'm a metaphor guy. I like imagery. It reminds me of, do you remember, were you ever a kid, or you see it on TV, where people get in those money boxes, those clear boxes where they're standing, all of a sudden money's flying everywhere, yeah. And they're like, you can have all the money you can catch in 1 minute.
Yes.
And the people, and put through this slot.
Right.
And people get like $2.
Yes.
And it's like, it's all right there, but there's so much chaos and turbulence, you just can't get any of it.
Right.
And it's frustrating as heck.
Right.
Because then you think you get it, but then it's crumpled and you can't get it through the slot. Yeah. Or it slip, or you grab one and you lose three others.
Yeah.
Is that the, that's is that what it feels like?
Mm-hmm. That's about it.
So how did you, I mean, you got your master's. Did you just like cheat or, I mean, how did
powered by Google is what my degree says.
Powered by Google.
I mean, I got it done. It took, so a 10-page paper that should have took me 2 hours because I knew what I was going to write took me 10 hours. Like I would wake up and I remember I would go down to the Lofts Commons area. Nobody was usually in there.
Yeah.
I'd take a lot of coffee, and I would literally sit there with music playing in my ears for 10 hours.
Pure grit and determination.
Yeah.
And a stimulant called caffeine to help slow it down just enough.
Just enough.
And did the music help because it, like, slowed down some of the chaos?
Yeah. I can't do anything without something going on. Like, silence, well, this is also a part of like tendonitis or whatever it's called.
Tinnitus?
Yeah, whatever.
Tinnitus is an inflammation in your tendons.
Oh, my bad.
Tinnitus is ringing in your ears.
Tinnitus. Without something going on. So, like, I have to, if I'm sitting down and I'm writing, like, if I do notes, sometimes it's hit or miss, but I'll probably have an AirPod in. Or if I'm at home, I'm typing notes, I do an AirPod in. Or if I'm at home and even reading, I'll play music, but not words, like instrumental, just to.
I do that. Blow. If I need to write and I put instrumental music on, it's something about it helps me zone in.
Yeah. Agreed.
So what's funny is, so I used to tell my mom, so back in the 90s, long time ago, right? So I when somebody said it was all ADHD, right? And it's changed. The terms ADD, ADHD, now it's just ADD, attention deficit disorder, and you had a specifier. And so you would, in a diagnosis, it would be ADD, primary presentation hyperactivity, or primary presentation inattentive. And, you know, back in the day, there was one, then there was two, then there was one and two. So there's an inattentive type, which is you, and that's basically like I have a hard time focusing. My mind seems elsewhere. I'm spacey at times, and it's not because you're like ditzy. It's because your mind is just preoccupied, with other thoughts. But the, then there's also the hyperactive side, which is the more commonly assumed one, which is just the kid that's bouncing off the walls.
Yeah.
And the further the stereotype is predominantly boys have it more than females. So anyway, so back in the 90s, if somebody said I'm ADD or I'm ADHD, like the thought is you're hyper.
Yeah.
Hyper, hyper, hyper. Like that's the go-to thought. And so my mom used to, I've told her before, I'll say, Mom, I think I have, you know, I might have ADD. And she would laugh. And she's like, Marty, you are not hyper.
Yeah.
And I don't think I have ADD, and I don't think I have ADHD. But I do have an overactive mind, which is kind of within the same chapter of the mind as ADD. It just presents differently.
Yeah.
Like, my overactive mind presents with perfectionism, OCD tendencies, anxiety. It just, it looks different.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing. It's the same cause. Like if I took a, I've never done it, but if I took a stimulant, I'm sure it, I would focus better in similar ways. But I just remember that, like that racing mind feeling. And that's what I was talking about. But what's so funny is I am not ADD. I can focus. I can get stuff done. I can zone in. But I'm I live in a world of ADDers, and it drives me nuts.
I'm sure
it's a hard life I live.
It drives Sarah nuts. It's your fault. It drives Sarah nuts sometimes
because this, like, my wife, ADD, very much. She's very similar to you in a lot of those ways. My wife, Charlie, my little one. ADD. He's got some of the H. He's got a lot of H going on right now.
Yeah.
A lot of hyper. All right. Maddox, the older one, very inattentive. He's not very hyper. He was hyper when he was younger. Now very inattentive. Like, doesn't, like, text him. He'll respond, have no clue what he's looking at. Like, very inattentive. And you, inattentive. Not so much the hyper. And so what it really means is I can't ask anybody, any of you jokers, more than one question. Because I told Ashley this. I said, I'm aware that if I text you two questions in one text message, I get one response. And I probably don't know what question you're responding to. But in your head, you've read it. One of the questions has popped out. You've processed it out and you respond back with yes. And I'm like, yes to which question? And I hear, oh, I'm sorry. This one. So what I've learned is with all of y'all, all of you, I have to be like, are we going to do this? Wait for reply. Immediately follow up with a specifier, clarifier. Get that reply.
I mean, that's like a structure you got there, Mark.
Is it?
Yeah. That's good.
Does Sarah have to do this with you?
Yeah, Sarah helps me. It reminds me of a lot of things. Like, sometimes, I don't know if this is true for you as well, that if I don't, like, all right, so just say end of day conversations that happens between spouses. How was your day? Anything interesting happens? Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's HIPAA in place a little bit, but I would not be able, like, I'm never able to, like, really give any info or details because everything in my mind has already happened, already processed. There's 1,000 different things I could tell her, and there's just a lot to go through.
It's fine.
So I have to put in mental energy to remember things to share because she's very detail-oriented.
Yeah.
So she likes the details. So I like talking to her about it. So she'll get one or two things. She'll get 1,000 different text messages throughout the day to go back to. I've kind of learned.
It's like sticky notes.
Right. Like, hey, I'll send, and she can't keep up, obviously, because she's at school, but I'll send 1,000 different messages just that we could go back to that I could talk about. Or if I remember something important, I'll try to remember to say, all right, I'll talk about this today to Sarah, that's important, or I'm not going to remember it. It's not that I don't want to share, but it's like not even with her, it's just with anybody. I just don't remember.
Yeah,
there's so many things that's happened.
You have to remember to remember.
Yeah, my mind is just constant, which is why I'm really, really good though. It's a beneficial thing at times, and actually, maybe the same way, she might not. I'm thriving when I'm in like 8 different group messages, and you hate this.
Yeah.
I know that you hate this. You've mentioned that you hate this. You love the fact that I'm in 1,000 different group messages at one time, and I can just go through and just have so many different conversations at one time.
You are like, I joke that you get to know Josh, and he will find a group to add you to within 30 minutes. Like, you came to work here, and within a week, we had at least 2 different group texts going on.
Right, right. Love it. I mean, it could be the social aspect, I guess. I just like the but it's also definitely the ADD aspect where, like, just group text. My mind it feels at home.
You can do, like, 50 things kind of good.
Yes.
But you can't zone in on one.
I've actually tried to do my notes that way, but the system won't let me. I try to pull up all the notes that I need to do
at the same time
and go through and do it.
Bounce around.
And it would be a lot more satisfying for me.
Satisfying.
Yeah. Like, I would rather go through and, like, just.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So what's your advice for me?
Dude.
Outside of
medication?
I haven't tried medication.
That's
but
probably
I've heard
why you drink so much freaking
it is, 100%.
Red Bulls and
no
crap.
Doubt. Matt, my friend Matt, is also ADD, and he said he's a nurse, and he has to use it when he's working so that he can focus. But at the same time, there's times where if he's doing multiple things, he doesn't need it.
Do you think not being medicated, or tell me this, counseling is 55 minutes of attention?
Mm.
That's literally not who you are.
Mm.
How do you navigate that without it driving you nuts? And I get, maybe you skip around more than other people. Maybe the client feeds off that. Maybe they don't. But how do you not? I mean, you just all day long, you're doing the same thing.
Depends on the client. So if I know I'm in a groove, not really a groove, not really a workbook. If I know that I'm going through something, I will go ahead and, like, plan in my mind, this is what we're going through today, and then just allow that to be kind of the skeleton of the conversation and then I'll bounce around if necessary. If somebody's coming in and I have nothing, or it's just like check in, or it's like whatever, I will try to I focus more in front of somebody where I know I have to put more mental energy. And this might be why I'm so drained, but I have to put more mental energy in to paying attention to what they're saying to help get to the point or to the coping skill or to the issue or whatever it is. But it's not terrible.
Because
there's purpose behind right. it.
Because I almost feel like you are you're counteracting yourself. So on one hand, you're an extrovert. True or false?
True.
It's true. Just go ahead and say true.
True.
You're an extrovert.
Yeah.
You're a highly social person.
Right.
If you're alone for more than 7 seconds, you start to feel lonely.
Yeah, so we're bothering somebody.
Right. So you come popping in an office. Right. Don't mind me. I just need a human.
Right.
All right, so you're very extroverted. So in theory, in counseling, that's not normal. Most counselors are introverts. If I had to, I could be wrong.
No, yeah, I agree. But do you think it's ADD or do you think it's social to not be able to be by myself?
No, I think that's your extroversion.
You don't think it's ADD?
I know. Yeah.
I don't get bored?
No, not completely. I think some of the way you demonstrate your extroversion is ADD.
Okay.
But the fact that you feed off of people, I think you're pretty extroverted. I think that's an anomaly, but that's a good thing.
I feel like we're having a session right now.
Well, yeah. I'm about to turn it into second gear. You just hold up. And so, in theory, you could be a really, really high performer as a therapist because you feed off of humans.
Right.
Right? Like, if you were out hanging out with your friends, you could hang out for 12 hours.
Yeah.
You'd feel more energized at the end as you did at the beginning.
Right.
Because you feed off of human interaction. It doesn't drain you.
Right.
So that's one of the markers for, like, being a high performer is when what you do feeds you.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is you have a reverse process happening in that those structured interactions of therapy require attention and structure, and the ADD doesn't like that.
No.
And so it disproportionately drains you faster than the extrovertedness is fed.
Ooh, that's good.
Does that make sense? Stuff.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, instead of feeling like neutral, unless you probably have those days where all your clients you see that day are people you click with.
Yeah.
And at the end of that day, you probably feel recharged.
Right.
Because you didn't have to edit yourself. Like, it's just there. It's just flow. It's like when we sit and chat.
Yeah.
But on days that require a little more mental energy.
Right.
It drains you faster than what the social battery can recharge.
Yeah.
And you end up ending in deficit.
Yeah, that's true.
An introvert, for example, is the reverse of that. Is they're very good oftentimes of being an introvert without ADD.
Right.
They're really good at being focused and structured. And so the session itself actually goes really well. The problem is, at the end of the day, their social interactions have drained them. So they're also emotionally exhausted, but for different reasons. Mm. Whereas, if you're an introvert, at the end of the day, you may need some alone time to kind of get your thoughts in order. You, on the flip side, probably don't need alone time, but you need unstructured time.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
That wasn't convincing.
No, it's because I got four thoughts going on in my mind. Goodness. Like, no, I was thinking through.
I talked for more than 1 minute. I've lost him.
No, I was thinking back to when we had.
Swimming.
We had supervision, and I asked you over here.
Yeah.
I need something. You told me to Google it or something, or you told me to go study or something.
I told you to do therapeutic research.
Yeah, that's what it was. And so, it was a good move because if I had like a workbook or something yeah. that I know is going to be beneficial for the client,
yeah,
the session will go good. I will feel energized at the end because there's structure and the social aspect charges me.
So does that actually, so do you need to pursue learning more structured forms of therapy because you yourself lack structure, so you need to impose structure to make both of you successful?
So I may be ADD, but I took your advice. I'm doing that now through like like the ANTS model, the ANTS workbook, the CBT workbook. Like, I'm doing
more. Do you
want
these workbooks? I got a whole.
Yeah, I need some of them.
There's one called ADHD and Learning Disabilities.
Ooh, that might be me.
There's the anxiety. I got a whole thing. I've never used any of them. So they just looked smart, so I kept them.
I think that's why groups work well, because there's curriculum that I know how to teach, but I have enough freedom to teach it the way I want, but there's structure there to keep me online.
Because that's the thing, is you are social enough that you can vibe if the conversation goes that way.
Yeah.
You roll with it. The problem is, but you can't just go in it sideways and come out with structure.
Right.
It's you need structure, but you're completely flexible to say, but we can derail all day long and you can roll with it.
Yeah. Like, I'm good at picking up, dissecting. I know this is kind of more of counseling now, but picking up, dissecting, following a path. Mm-hmm. Like, all, I mean, find out what the issue is and then working towards a solution. Like, all that is somewhat structure-ish of my sessions. Whereas if it's like check-in sessions, maintenance therapy, drives me crazy a little bit.
So why are you opposed to trying medicine?
Because of my recent doctor bill that I got when I went and got blood work. Because the doctor bill was so expensive. That's why.
That's the only reason.
That's the only reason.
So if you could see a doctor for free,
I'd go to more. But I don't.
You have good insurance. You don't know what the doctor bill would be.
It was the visit.
I'm aware.
The visit, every time I visit.
But there's
them,
a deductible, and it might be met.
I highly doubt it.
Why?
Because that's the first time we've ever used anything for
it. We have the same insurance.
That's the first time me and Sarah's used the doctor for anything.
It's the same insurance. The deductible starts over every year.
That's what I'm saying. We haven't. That's the only time we've used it to do anything towards a deductible.
The deductible's only $450.
Is it?
Yes.
I'll look into it.
No, you won't. You
I'll
won't
look
remember.
Into it. I'll
you
look
just
into
added it.
It
to a file that you're going to forget about.
I'll look into it.
You can actually. South Carolina. Okay, so you and I both have State Blue Cross and Blue Shield because
we're not getting into an
school.
Insurance conversation.
No, this
just
is the
listen.
Last thing. There's an app you can download that shows you real time data on your deductible.
All right, I'll get it.
I'll show it to you after the session.
So
we can have this answer today.
I need your answer.
If it's met, would you consult him for medication?
Probably. I've already asked. I've already talked to a lot of people that said you probably need to go at least try it.
Because here's the beautiful thing.
But I don't want to I've heard.
Are you
it
about to say the exact same bullcrap I hear?
It affects. Will it affect my social battery?
Right.
Because if it affects my social battery,
game over.
I'm at the same.
Yes.
I'm at this. I'm. This, there's no
so
benefit.
So here's the problem with medication is two things. You have to have the right medicine,
right,
and the right dosage of the medicine,
right.
Which means you have to be willing for a little bit of trial and error. Doctors are pretty good. They can normally get it right pretty quick. Nonetheless, there's still some trial and error.
Okay.
And so what happens is, number one, you have to get the right medicine. So normally what doctors will do is they put you on what's called a primer dosage, which is a subtherapeutic dosage which will trigger side effects or reactions if there's going to be any, but there's a good chance that you're not going to experience much benefit from it. Because the whole idea is just to get your body acclimated before it shocks it. And because if they came straight in with a therapeutic dosage with a lot of medicines, even if it was a good medicine for you, it would shock your system and it would be very unpleasant. Mm. Does that make sense?
Mm.
And so what they'll do is they'll give you, and I can't, I don't have an example off of a medicine of a, so like,
Adderall, Vyvanse.
No. I know the medicines. I'm trying to think of an example, like Lexapro. Lexapro is not an ADHD medicine, it's an antidepressant. Gotcha. But if my memory's right, I think 25 milligrams is the lowest level of therapeutic dosage. But a lot of times they'll start you at 10. So you might experience, if you have, or if your body's hypersensitive, or you've just never been on medicine, so maybe you're a little more reactive to medicines, at 10 you might feel it. But the goal is not for you to be better at that point. It's for your body to get acclimated. So a lot of times that's what they'll do, is they'll give you a really low dosage for, let's say, 2 weeks. And they titrate you up. So that means they stair-step you to a higher quantity. So they say, take this for 7 days. If you're not having any effects, double it. Or take this new pill. Or whatever they do. And the whole goal is for you to realize if your body's going to have an adverse reaction or not. If it does, you can go ahead and stop it and try something different. But the idea is if you do have a side effect, it usually goes away within 14 days. And if it doesn't, then maybe you need a different medicine. And so that's step one, is getting a medicine that works well with your system. The beautiful thing about ADHD medicines is there's not a tremendous amount of side effects from them outside of dosage issues. And that's where people get frustrated, is there are differences. There's quick release. There's long acting. There's some different ways that they interact with the body. I'm not saying that one is not different than another for each person, but it's not as varied from my experience as antidepressants, for example. They tend to be a little more reactive one pill to the next. Then the next key is dosage, because what happens is a lot of times, and you saw this in school, I know I've worked with a lot of patients who are like, I quit taking it, I felt like a zombie. Their dosage wasn't right. So what happened is they're throwing the baby out with the bathwater because the dosage wasn't right. Maybe their parents didn't know how to advocate for it. Maybe they didn't care. Maybe the parents didn't. Or maybe the parents liked the fact, or the teachers liked the fact he was zombied out a little bit because he was crazy as a loon when he wasn't on medicine. I don't know, but it's a dosage issue. But this is confusing because sometimes you start having effects because you need a little bit more, right? Like it's taking a little bit off, but you feel weird. You need a little more. Or sometimes you're zombied out because you're taking too much and you need less. It's very different. Normally, if you feel zombied out, you have too high of a dosage. But this is what I tell people. This is what I'll tell you. You are a very high-achieving, successful person on no medicine outside of coffee and 5-hour energies.
Thank you.
You have learned how to get a master's degree and be successful in a profession that requires you to pay attention. The last thing you need is a significantly impacting medicine to influence you. But what if it just turned down the volume 20%? Just 20%. That might be enough for you to say, you know what? Making it 50 minutes in a session feels much more attainable, and at the end of the day, I don't feel drained. And so the idea is, how can I take the least amount just to take the edge off? Sure, higher dose might be better, but you might feel a little more dull. That's the last thing you want. And so it's like just the edge off, just to give you a little bit of help. And so that's the beauty of some of the non-stimulant options. So a lot of people worry about taking stimulants like Adderall, Ritalin, Vyvanse because they are abusable. There's a street value on them, right? They're a little more risky to take. Like typically people with ADD that take them, they don't necessarily abuse them because they're beneficial. It's the other people that get a hold of them. But there's a lot of other non-stimulant medications, now like Strattera is one, which some people don't like them because they're not as effective. You don't need something effective. You just need something mildly effective. So that might actually be a really safe option because there's no abuse potential. Well, relatively no abuse potential. It's a non-stimulant medication, and it might just take the edge off a little bit. And so then it's a fairly low-risk experiment. It works when you take it. It doesn't work when you don't take it. So it's not like you have to be on it for weeks. Literally, you could not take it on the weekends or on days off. You could take it on days that you're there You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's an as-needed medicine. It's not. Whereas a lot of medicines, it's like, well, it takes 30 days for it to build up in your system. Don't stop at cold turkey, yada, yada, yada. None of that is true with attention deficit medications, right? They work when you take it. You are not required to continue taking it. And so the moment you don't like it, you can quit taking it. Or if there's days that you don't want it, you know, because I know some people are like, no, it really, really helps me at work, but I don't feel like the best version of myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I take it on days that I work and I'm good enough, like I'm happy enough. But on the weekends when I don't work, I don't take it so I can be my full self. You look very.
Are you making money off of ADHD medication?
No.
Okay.
No, but I'm hoping my wife listens to this podcast and takes it to heart.
All you said
is
was
that
is really towards her.
Counseling. No,
I'm just kidding.
Because here's the thing: is Ashley doesn't take an ADD medicine, but she's figured out a way to manage it. Because, and I don't think I'm out of the box of saying this. My wife has also struggled with anxiety. And so there's also some really good medicines that operate both, like with both. And she's worked with some of those at times. And so there's all kinds of different ways, depending on the symptoms that you've dealt with, that there's medicines that you can take that sometimes are, like, for example, I worked with a med student a year ago who she had some attention issues, but she also dealt with some depression or anxiety one. And so the doctor chose to give her Wellbutrin because mm-hmm. Wellbutrin is an antidepressing depressant medicine, but it also stimulates the attention and focus part of the brain. And so it assisted with the anxiety, but more than that, it also assisted in taking the edge off and allowing her to study better. And so there's some other ways that medicines are used to help people focus. That aren't necessarily your tried and true Adderalls, Ritalins, and Vyvanses. Because personally, there are some long-term effects of being on medicine of any type. And so the less riskier medicine that you can take that provides some assistance is the best option. I mean, not taking medicine is always the best option. But if not taking medicine makes your quality of life lower or your ability to do the job that you love tougher, then sometimes it's a worthy exchange.
Fine, Marty. Fine. I will make this a part of our podcast
journey
here. I will figure out a way to manage my ADD.
So the reality is here in medication. About 5 minutes, we're going to have an app downloaded, and we're going to know what your deductible is.
And if it's met...
You're going Friday.
I'll go have a conversation.
Because you got nothing but free time Friday.
That's not true.
Because your ADD didn't get in the way of planning at all.
Do you have something going on?
No.
You don't have anything going on Friday? We do.
We got a big interview coming up Friday.
Well, excuse me. You do?
Yeah, because you bailed on me.
I didn't bail on you. I just forgot I had something.
All right. Yeah, next week we're dropping another interview. A friend of mine, tattoo artist, cool dude, great story. I'm not going to name drop or anything because I'd hate for something to fall through. But what?
Might involve Marty getting a tattoo.
It might involve me getting a tattoo.
Might. We'll see.
We'll see. I haven't decided on that one yet. I'm thinking full chest piece. Eagle, spread eagle, holding arrows in its claw.
And holding a what? A
arrows.
Cross?
Holding arrows, like American flag cape.
I have that tattoo on my chest. Are you making fun of me?
No, you don't.
I do.
Of an eagle?
And it's holding a cross. It's a tribal phoenix, excuse me.
Oh, no.
That's supposed to represent the Holy Spirit. Don't ask me. I was 18.
I'll be honest. I've never seen your chest.
Yeah, well. It's a tribal phoenix that's holding a cross. And it's one of those moments where it's like, probably could have been better.
That was probably a symptom.
Yeah, probably would have been better.
All right, we're out of time. We got to wrap up.
To be continued.
TBD. We'll see what happens. Hopefully other people enjoy this conversation of Josh getting attention deficit therapy. Anyway.
I think people who have it will enjoy it, or people who know people yeah. who have it. So that's probably 75% of people.
It's 100% of the 75%. Always. All right. Until next time. Y'all behave yourselves.
Holla. Thanks for joining us on another episode of TNJ. Don't forget to check out the links to any of our guests in the show description.
And check out tattoosandjesus.org for additional show information or to submit your questions, comments, or curse words.